Lord, thank you for our visitors today. Thank you for worshiping with us. Isn't God good? He is good. We serve a good God. We don't always understand what he's doing or why he does things a certain way. So we talked about last week, it's like opening a Christmas present, peeking in a little corner of it. We can guess what's in it, but we don't know until we open the package. And it sure is like that with God, isn't it? Like, Lord, why do you do things? Why are things this way? And we got to be careful not to jump to a pre-conclusion about what God is doing or why he does things. We just got to remember that God is a good God. That's part of, he can't be anything less than good because that's who he is. And so I am excited. With that said, I am excited today. Shanna is going to be coming up here in just a second. Shanna McMahon, she first shared her testimony with us. Gosh, has it been 8 months, 6 months? Yeah, eight, something like that. And it just kind of blew me away, and we as the church got to, some of us got to share in that, just that testimony, really, at the end of the testimony. Of course, the testimony's been going since the beginning, and now we're just kind of seeing a conclusion of it, and it ends well, let me tell you. So I am excited to have Shanna, come on up, Shanna, bring the testimony to you. It's an incredible story, and I just pray that you would be blessed.
I know. I've taken all my meds. I've no fever. I'll do my best not to cough, so I don't want you guys to panic. I know. And normally I'm mic shy. I know it's hard to believe. It's hard to believe that talking makes me nervous sometimes. It's hard to believe. This is a big story. I want to start that. Life is all about God's perfect timing. And if I never believed that, I believe it now. It's all about God's perfect timing. Okay, give me a minute. I'm trying to control the emotions a little bit. So when I was 18, I was engaged to be married. I found out that my fiance had leukemia and he was terminal. Shortly after he found out that he had leukemia, he broke up with me. I don't know if it's because he didn't want me to watch him pass. I don't know. I never asked. I took it very hard, as one would. Later, I found out that I was pregnant. I didn't really come to terms that I was pregnant until I was 6 months along. I was in major denial. So here I am, 18, pregnant, scared to tell my parents. He's broken up with me. I'm not even sure where he's at, if he has passed yet, if he's, there were lots of things with my family. And I won't go into too much detail because it's very private, but there's lots of things with my family, decisions that thought should be made, and I couldn't make those decisions. In my heart, there was only one decision, because if I would have searched out the father, then I would have, he didn't live here. I would have had to deal with a child only having one parent. And I know that people do that every day, and they're great at it, and I'm not bashing that at all, because things happen, and I understand that. But I knew that I didn't want to battle that. Once the father passed, I would have been torn, and this child would have to gone back and forth, and it was no life. I wanted her to have two parents. So that was it. The decision was made. So my sister worked for Catholic Social Service, and she worked with people with kids that gave their kids up for adoption. So Illinois' laws are horrible with adoptive parents that are going to give their child up. What you have to go through and how they make you feel. And so I went to Indiana. And I went to an unwed home. In Indiana, you didn't have to name the father. So that way I could do this for her and for her not to go through the heartaches of what she would have been faced with. I wasn't ready. As much as I wanted her so bad. But I loved her that much to give her a life that she deserved. So anyway, I went to Indiana, and I think I was there maybe 6.5, 8 weeks when I hit out. People didn't know I was pregnant. Kelly had no idea I was pregnant. It was very hush-hush. Nobody knew. We had a friend of the family's that actually didn't live here. So when I wanted to get in touch with my friends, I wrote the letter a week out, sent it there, and then they sent it on home because everybody thought I was here, and I wasn't, obviously. So anyway, I go through the process of being at an unwed home for unwed mothers, and that was quite an experience. One of the hardest things, they didn't make you feel bad, but yet you were kind of labeled. And it was just, it was an experience that any person that would go through that, it's well worth it for the outcome. It gets there. But it's just a hard thing. So back then, an open adoption was an application. And so I got to go through applications to pick who I would want to raise my daughter. So I went through many, and I wanted to make sure it was a church family. And at that time, it Presbyterian in Fairmount, and I was dead set it was going to be a family Presbyterian faith. So I went through it. I found the family. Then they said what you should do to have some closure is to write a letter, keep a journal, which I did. Write a letter to the parents. Write a letter to your daughter. You don't have to give it to her, but write it. So I did, and I kept it for a long time. So then it was the day of the birth, and I delivered her, and quite a emotional day, as it would be. My mom and my sister were there, and so I went through the delivery, and I, going through it, I thought, oh, I'm never doing this again, ever, forget it. And it was beautiful, but sad, happy, but sad, because I wasn't going to have a chance to watch her grow. So I got to hold her for 5 minutes. When you have a baby and you give her, you give them up for adoption in Indiana. Now, it may not be that way now because I know things have changed. You were on a different floor. You didn't really get to have anything to do with the child, but you are allowed to hold him. So I got to go down to the nursery and hold her. I held her for 5 minutes before they took her out of my arms. And I did get a picture because I held on to that for a long time. So got through that, got back to the home, had to sign the papers. And the papers that you have to sign is just overwhelming. So I'm at the home, and I'm signing the papers. I'm relinquishing my rights. And I'm just kind of a zombie because I'm just kind of going through the motion because I have all these emotions. I'm leaving my daughter behind, knowing that I'm doing the right thing, but yet not wanting to. So I signed the papers, and I just recently found out, and I didn't know this. My daughter told me this. She actually did go into foster care for 30 days, which I was devastated because I wanted to do this so she didn't have to go through that. And they do that in case the mother changes their mind, which I had no clue that that was an option because I don't know what I would, you know, if I would have known, would have I changed my mind? God's perfect timing. You know, that's God, knowing that I wasn't ready to do that, knowing that I was protecting her. So I signed the papers. Usually you're supposed to stay at the home for 72 hours. They let me leave. I left the hospital. I signed the papers. I went home. Hid out for a while till I was a little more recovered. This was considered an open adoption back in the day. So I got pictures of her for the first 6 months. They would send them to my sister because she worked for a Catholic social service because we kept everything I'm quiet. I mean, it was so quiet. And so here's the pictures. She was 6 weeks old. She was a very big baby. And then the next picture, that was the last picture I got of her. And then I've kept that in my journal, and it would go everywhere with me, so I would always have it. Because I held on to those pictures for years. I still cherish them. So the family, of course, after a month, got to take her home. But they got to meet her first. So this was her family, and her sister there was also adopted. So they come, the family was good. The family was good. And there's Dad. And I just recently had these pictures. Lisa gave them to me. And anyway, and then that was her being at home, her first day home. And I got to see announcements where they had an adoption party where they brought her into the house. She always knew she was adopted. And so that went by, and I had my letters, and I had my engagement ring, and I made a call, and I went back to the home, and I took the letter to give to the parents. So that way I wanted to thank them for taking in my daughter and raising her to be their own. And I knew that they would take good care of her. I just, there was no doubt. And then I wrote a letter to my daughter explaining to her what I did, why I did it, how hard it was, that if she ever wanted to find me, that I was here. And if not, I understood. But I did what I did because I loved her. Then I also gave her my engagement ring so that way she would have something that I was giving her. Now, the parents were supposed to give it to her at 18. I never dreamed they would. You know, people say, oh, yeah, but I never dreamed they would. So I have got all this buried because I wasn't allowed to discuss things at my house. What's done is done. The book is closed, and that's that. You didn't. My dad would always say, don't cry over spilled milk. It was done. So I kept it pretty buried and went through a lot, started to run amok. Then I had Cameron and wouldn't let anyone do anything for him because I was afraid someone would take him. So I was that mother that was, you know, did everything, and that was that. So it helped ease the pain some having a child. Then I went to have my second child, and I miscarried. So I thought God was punishing me because I gave a child up. I thought he was just getting even that I didn't deserve it. So that was something else I kept buried. It was so buried. And then Callie came. So when Callie came, you know, it was a girl. And again, those kids were under my wing. I drove them crazy. I drove them, even when they were in high school, even to this day. It's better now since I have found my daughter. But it literally drives them crazy because I'm that parent. And I tend to be that way with my grandkids too, because I don't want to lose them. I don't want to lose them. So, Dad died, and I was a daddy's girl. Right before he passed, we discussed my daughter, which was something we never did. And he said that he never stopped thinking about her, which brought me peace because things were very hard. Things were very, can't even think of the words, but it was just a hard time. And so then again, Dad passed. I'm running amok. And then 5 years later, almost to the day, Mom passed. And so now I'm really running amok. My Aunt Betty had direct contact, of course, with Hope and with Ron. And we got a hold of Ron for Ron to come up to the hospital and pray over Mom. And then she passed. It was her time. And then it was just like a spiral going down. I functioned. I want to say I was out of control. I was a functioning partier. One Sunday I got up, and I was just a hot mess. And I thought, I need to go to church. So I got up, waited till I knew it would start, walked in, sat in the back row, sobbed the entire time. Ron was doing the ending prayer. I got up and left, so I didn't have to talk to anybody. And that happened a few times. They tried to hit me off at the pass, but it didn't work. I figured out a way to get out. But then many prayers. I know there were so many prayers going up. I know, because that was my home church. And they knew that I was hurting. And so one weekday, I don't know, I was sitting at my kitchen table, smoking a cigarette, drinking my coffee, and I'm flipping through the channels, and all of a sudden Joyce Myers comes on, and I listen to her, and I've got this feeling in my gut, and I tried to fight it a little bit, you know, because God's not going to want anything to do with me. I mean, I got pregnant, I gave a baby up, I've been running amok. You know, he's not going to have anything to do with me. So I got up several times and did that and started watching. And at that time, that is when I accepted Jesus back into my heart. And so the healing begins. And I got really involved with the church, got into the music, and just was going ahead. And knowing that all this was still going on, but I dealt with it a little bit each day. Still haven't really told anybody, but I'm dealing with it. So I got back into church, praise God. Still smoked, but, you know, one thing at a time. And I had sang one morning at Hope, and Ron says, well, you know what? Shan, I think it's about time. I think it's about time. You need to think about that. I put the cigarettes down, and that was that. I maybe broke one or two times and had a cigarette It was the awfulest thing I ever did. So, you know, that was it. I was done. So I went through some failed relationships realized that, you know, I need to worry about God and not worry about all this other stuff, because if I do that, my life is going to be better. Got baptized at Hope and was doing so much better, and that's only because of Jesus. God's perfect timing. That is God's perfect timing, because that's the only way I was able to deal with things. So, let's see. I always said that I wouldn't try to find her and disrupt her life, because that wasn't fair to her. If she wanted to find me, there would be some way. If it was God, if it was going to happen. And so I joined an adoption registry. I joined Ancestry. I kept my last name as Alexander on Facebook. Just trying to do little things, you know, because Mom and Dad were gone, so I could do, because what was done was done. And it's not that they didn't love her, because I know they did. Things happen in the heat of things, but it was never discussed. So I get on different sites, and my kids knew. When my kids got old enough, when Cameron and Callie got old enough, I told them, because I didn't want someone to come knock on my door and then them be shocked. So, of course, they were like, well, let's try to find her, you know. And I was like, we just need to just let it ride, because I was afraid. Because what if I found her? And she didn't want anything to do with me. What if I found her and she had passed because of cancer? So it was easier for me not knowing, even though that was hard. I wasn't sure how I would handle that. So I did the DNA testing and thought automatically that, boom, you know, I'm going to find her, that's that. Well, you know, I'm not a patient person. And a week went by, and I didn't find anything. I thought, this is stupid. God doesn't want me to find her. I'm just getting out of all of it. That's that. I'm not going to do it. I tried once again to go through the home that I was at, and they wanted $500 to break the file. And again, if I paid that $500, what if? And I was so afraid of what if. I was so afraid. And God knew that. God knew I was afraid of that. So it was every day of her birthday, every year, I just went into a stupor. About the week before and the week after, I wasn't a nice person to be around. Because I felt so guilty, and I felt so like God was disappointed in me, even though I knew better. But I felt like he was, you know, just disappointed, and that was it. I wasn't to see her again. This was a part of my life that I did what I knew was right, and that was that. So it was 2018, right, Brett? 2018. Is when I had really started. Well, in 2018, she had also started. She got onto a website where they did a pro bono, and she did a DNA testing. Still nothing happened. She thought she found me, and obviously she didn't. So that was that. That, you know, chapter was closed. Well, you know, Brett does all this history stuff, and he works with Lisa Davis. Well, during all this ancestry stuff, our mail lady, I found out that Lisa's my cousin. And so it's like, wow, you know. And Brett's like, you need to contact her. You need to contact her. I'm like, I don't think so. And so one day, I was here, Kelly and I were here, and we were cleaning, and all of a sudden, God just spoke to me and says, you need to contact Lisa. Kelly didn't even know I was doing this. And I sat down real quick, and I texted her, and I said, hey, this is Shanna. I want you to help me with something, but I'm at the church cleaning right now. Can I text you later? Oh, of course, no problem. Okay. So I get home, and I'm shaking. I'm like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do it. No, what's done is done. God didn't see it that way. And so I started texting her, and I told her the story. I said, now, this is a quiet story. And she's like, okay, I have to be in charge of your DNA. I said, okay, what do I do? And so I had to reset my passwords because I didn't remember a thing because I just deleted everything. And I got it all moved around where she was the administrator over my DNA. And she goes, okay, I'm not going to get to it this weekend, but we'll see what we can do. She says, now, if she doesn't have anything out there, this isn't going to work. I'm just being upfront with you. You know, she doesn't want to be found. She's not going to be. So that's just it. There's other things we can try. But at this time, that's where she left it. So on Saturday, we were watching a ball game, I think, or I don't know, Cardinals spring training or something. And she sends me a text, and she says, okay, it's out there. Now we wait. Brett, what have I done? He goes, it'll be fine. She'll find her. I said, no, what have I done? This so isn't right. What have I done? Even though I was dying to know, I was just, what have I done? So I thought, well, you know, it's not going to happen. God doesn't want it to happen. It's not going to happen. So I just need to just, you know, be prepared that this is all it is. So on a Tuesday, it was Tuesday the 15th, there's a family that I take care of, and so I went to the house to take care of them and clean their house and do things for them. And I'm telling you what, on my mind was La Pot chicken tacos, and that is all I could think about. Earlier that day, I almost forgot, earlier that day, my phone calls were horrible at work. Horrible. And I had this nice lady call in needing something, and she says, your name's Shanna, right? And I said, yeah. Is it okay that I pray for you? And I'm working. And I'm like, well, yeah, of course. I don't turn down prayers. And I'm thinking, God, please don't let this be a call that's audited. Because I didn't know if I would get in trouble from my job. And I thought, well, if I do, he's got other plans for me. So just take a breath. And so at 11:30, and remember that time, at 11:30, she prayed this prayer that she didn't know me from Adam, that I was going through something that she had no idea, but for her to, for God to answer my prayers and give me peace. And that things are going to be okay. She knows it. So, you know, I'm crying, and I put myself into not ready, and automatically I'm doing the prayer chain. This is what happened, because I thought it was from all the horrible calls that I was having, and God was showing me that it's okay. And so then, fast forward, I went to the house, cleaned, La Pot, tacos, anyway, and so I got done cleaning, and it was early. It was 7:30. I'm like, yes. So I called Brett real quick. It's like, hey, Brett, I can't talk, but I'm going to run. He's like, no, where are you at? I said, I'm on my way home, but I'm going to go run to La. He's like, you need to get home right now. I said, who died? He's like, no, you just need to get home. I said, now don't mess with me. Who died? What's going on? Well, she found her. I said, what are you talking about? She found her. I said, who found who? Brett says, Shanna, she found your daughter. I don't even remember driving home from Georgetown. I said, "You're kidding me, right? Don't mess with me." He's like, "No, she's on her way over." I said, "I got to go. I got to call Callie." So I call my daughter and tell her what's going on. And, of course, she's trying to say, now, she may be angry with you. If this is her, maybe it's not. You know, you have to be prepared for these things. Okay. She's kind of talking me down. Still have no idea how I got home. Called Cameron when I got into Fairmount. Told him. And he's like, "Well, keep me posted." And I said, "Okay." I walk into the house. And by this time, I mean, shaking, it's not even a word, and sweating, and sick, and crying, and all of the things. Lisa is at my table. I walk in, and you know me, I'm constant motion. I about knocked the laptop on the floor, got it all unplugged because I just was a hot mess. And so she sat down, and she had put my DNA on ourheritage.com. So it comes up. She says, "Here it is. Look, 49.3% daughter." Doesn't get much higher than that. 49.3%. It's like I've had 3 cases of Mountain Dew. This is how wired I am. And so she's like, "Well, how do you want to proceed?" I don't know. I said, "Can't you message her?" I said, "Because you're my cousin, so she'd be your cousin." She's like, "Well, we can do that." So she sends a note and says, "Hey, you've come up as a cousin on myheritage.com. I'm just trying to find my families. You know, all my different family." Took her about half an hour. She responded back, "I've been trying to find my birth mom." And she's like, "Oh, well, my cousin was wanting to do that as well." And my daughter says, "Well, the only thing I know is that she had some college. She's in her mid-50s. And this was in Indiana." Well, I was 55. You don't get much middler than that. And so I'm sitting here, and we go back and forth. It takes her half an hour each time to respond. It's 11:30 at night. And, of course, you know, I'm not going to sleep, not for days. So Lisa, my cousin, says, "Okay, this is what we're going to do so I can get out of it." I said, "Okay, I'm going to send her your phone number. She has your email." And we sent a picture. She says, "Now, you're probably not going to hear from her right away. If you do, we don't know. But don't be disappointed. We're right here, and we'll just play it by ear." So I'm like, "Okay." You know, everybody went home. I go to bed. Blink, blink, blink. And there's no sleeping. I get a quick message from Lisa, my cousin, where my daughter sent her an instant message and said, "Wish me luck." Crap. No words. So I'm like, "Okay, I'm just going to lay here and watch some TV, and I just got to breathe. God, I don't know what you're doing. I have no clue, but I know you got it all worked out. I just need to breathe." So I thought, check my email once more. There was an email. "Brett, wake up, Brett." Now, he wouldn't wake up. He slept through the whole thing. And I'm shaking, and I'm crying. And she sends me this, and she says, "Hi, your cousin Lisa contacted me on ourheritage.com we have a match of 49.3%. I would like to find out, you know, if maybe you could be my birth mother. I've been looking for you since 2018. And I text back. If anyone knows how I text, you have to read in between the letters because I don't do it so well. And I would like to find that out too. Why don't we do that together? She says, I'm not trying to be mean, but I thought I found her before and I can't go through that again. She says, I have two questions. If you can answer. Hold on, pause. 11:30. I did say 11:30 is when the email came. Okay, so she's like, you have to answer these two questions and we'll go from there. Okay, I'm like, I know what they are. She says, I know what my birth mother was gonna name me. Okay, check. And my birth mother left me a present. It was seconds. Your name is Briston Alexis, and I left you my engagement ring. Took a few minutes. She emails back. Hi, my name is Lisa, and I'm your daughter, and I have been looking for you since 2018. Wow. How do you respond? Thank you, Jesus. God's perfect timing. God's perfect timing. So we email back and forth. It's 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. Like I said, it's like I've had several cases of Mountain Dew. I go to work, and God had made it not busy that day because all I was doing was texting. Told me about herself. Told me about growing up and some things that she'd gone through and that she was so glad that she found me and that her mom had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's and that she was in the last stages and she had really needed to find me. So we're talking back and forth just about everything but nothing. I wanted her to know for sure. I said, you know what? I am not trying to scare you away, but I have loved you every day of your life. I did what I did to give you a better life, and it wasn't because I didn't ever want you, because that was never it. I always, always wanted you. I said, and this, if this is all we have, I'm grateful, but I would love to have more of you. So I came into church for praise team and shared it with the praise team and then shared it with the prayer group. I needed to talk about it. I just needed to talk about it. So eventually emails went to texting. Texting went to FaceTime. And seeing her face the first time on FaceTime, I can't even explain to you how that felt. So then it's like, you know, I want to come. I'm not trying to scare you. I would get in my car right now and come see you, but it's on your time. I've waited this long. It's on your time. So it was Mother's Day weekend, and it was a Thursday. And she said, how would you like a visitor? Oh, no. I was scared. I was happy. I was stunned. So she came on a Friday. And you want to hit the next one, Billy? I cried. And she, just a second here. And So from there it began. We talk every day. She wants me in her life every day. She's been here, and she came to church one day, and it has just been an unbelievable. You know, again, all the times that we wanted to find each other, it wasn't the right time. I wasn't ready. She wasn't ready. God knew that. God knew that I wasn't ready and she wasn't ready. And, you know, it's not always easy to wait on his perfect timing. But I won't doubt that again. I will not doubt it again. Because the fact that we were able to meet with what was called an open adoption, but is really a closed adoption, and all the different things that you go through to try to get through the files and get to one another. And I can't even, it still isn't real to me at times. I mean, my daughter's coming for Thanksgiving. I've never had a Thanksgiving. I got to share her first birthday with her, even though it wasn't her first birthday, but it was my first birthday. Her cake, I put on their happy first birthday. So she came for the weekend, and I got to share that with her. And then this was after she came to church with me. And this was the first weekend. Kelly wanted us to come out to her house because there was perfect backgrounds for pictures. So we went out there. She wanted to meet her. And, I mean, we just went to people and introduced her where she felt comfortable because it was very overwhelming for her as well. You know, I mean, probably more so even than me because I gave her up. Even though that was hard for me, she knows that I did that. So, but she thanked me. She thanked me for parting her with such a wonderful family. And I told her, I said, I do not want to take your place or take your family's place. I want our relationship. Your mom is your mom. Your dad is your dad. And I am so grateful. And one day when your dad feels comfortable, I would love to thank him. You know, and this lady that prayed for me, she had no clue, and she prayed this prayer, and then God brought it all together. I mean, and not just, you know, months, we're talking hours. So Cameron has met her. It's been a little overwhelming for my kids. They've done really well in accepting, but it's a lot. Hey, I'm your sister. Nice to meet you. You know, I mean, it's a lot. But, of course, you guys know my daughter doesn't live here, so I photoshopped her into the picture. So I actually had all my kids together. Callie hopes to come home this summer, and I can have all my kids together at one time. And it doesn't get any better than that. It does not, other than going to heaven and meeting Jesus and celebrating forever. But because of all the things that I went through, from being an overprotective parent, from running amok, from coming back to Christ, from coming to the praise team, I'm so blessed to have two church families. I am so blessed because Hope is my home. I was born and raised there. And as long as there's a breath of air at Hope, I will always be a part of them. I will always be a part of them because they're my parents. They're, you know, they watched me when I was a brat, you know, and watched me grow up. And then when Brett and I got married and I came to faith, then it was like, oh, goodness, I have this other family that I would never leave because, you guys have been there for me as well during different things that I've been through with my family. And I can't imagine a day without having you guys in my life as well. And foremost, I can't imagine not having Jesus Christ in my life, because none of this would have happened. None of this would have happened. I have no doubt that any of this would have happened if I had not turned to him and give him control of it. You know what? He forgave me. He didn't punish me. I thought he punished me. He didn't punish me. He has his reasons. And you just have your faith and you go with it. That's what you do. You go with it. He knows what's best. I've always tried to be four steps ahead, and it just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Ken Jay always used to tell me, Shanna, you're like four steps ahead. Slow down. Back up. You quit. You need to let him catch up. You need to slow down. And he's exactly right, you know. And I wanted to share this with you because this is National Adoption Month. And I wanted to share. Again, one of the hardest, happiest things that I've gone through that has made me who I am today and made me appreciate life and family. And I'm forever grateful. I'm forever grateful. It's all about God's perfect timing. And he definitely has perfect timing. But thank you for letting me share.
Take a second to mention the influences that try to get you to terminate the pregnancy.
Yeah.
Just talk about that for a second.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. Oh, no, that's fine.
Okay, all right.
That's fine.
What an incredible testimony. And as we're about to break for lunch, I just want to touch on something that was so important. She didn't really go into it very much. When she first found out that she was pregnant, she had a lot of people trying to get her to terminate the pregnancy. Lots of folks from all places, because to get rid of the inconvenience, to take care of the problem. And it's a very real, it's a big issue in our day. I'm telling you, there are other options besides terminating the pregnancy. We saw the joy of adoption. There are so many parents out there that would give anything to be able to have a little child or a grown child in the room to pour into their life. Terminating a pregnancy should never be an option, should never. And I know our society has made it so easy, like buying a Coke down at Casey's. I tell you, especially if you're a child of God, you're in here. Hey, we all make mistakes. We all do stuff that we all make poor choices. But when it comes to a living human being inside of us, there are other options besides terminating that precious child. Amen. And Shanna, I just commend you for that hard choice you had to make back then. But that lady prayed for you. You had other people praying for you. We've seen how God can restore, and he can bring back and heal broken relationships. He is an amazing God. And so I just want to commend you for being a child of God and giving that baby a chance to grow up and to be a woman of God. Because if you had to ask all the babies that have been terminated, well, what do you think? Would you rather have a life or not? Every single one of them says, thank you for giving me the chance to live a life. So thank you, Shanna. Thank you. Amen. All right. Let's pray. I'm going to bless the meal, and then we'll head on out the doors. Remember to grab a table if you need to use the restroom. You've probably got time for that. You're not going to miss the line. Just go ahead and come on back. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the testimony that Shanna gave today. Lord, it's powerful. And it's just a reminder of your love. Father, your word tells us in Romans chapter 8 that we are all adopted in here, God, and how it has brought you joy to bring us back into relationship with you. We thank you, God, that we have a hope and a future because of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, God, for being a good Father to us and not abandoning us, Lord, but adopting us. And we thank you, Jesus, for that. Father, we pray for your blessing on the food that we're about to eat. We ask for your, number one, that you'd stretch the food out. If you fed 5,000, you can feed this crowd today, Lord, and we thank you for that. And we pray that every bite would bring us nutrition into our body. We thank you for your goodness and your provision. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. God bless you. We'll head on out.